kingdom we are so there how we squish it and all like come in India if you can like move in.
Got it?
Just move in into this middle of
life. Right here. Here. Cool. And whilst you're moving, you can give someone high five and ask them how you doing. All right. Yeah. Very nice. All right. Are you guys ready? All right, very nice. Let's pray. King of kings, Lord of lords, master of the universe, we are so grateful that you chose us to be in your presence today. We could have been anywhere else, but you led our hearts to come into your presence today because you have something for us, to free us to live a life worthy of your holy name. Holy Spirit, I pray that every heart that is hearing my voice will be grabbed and listen to what you have to say, so that, Father, our hearts will change into the likeness of your Son. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Today, I have a message for you. A message that I believe would change our lives. Because I believe in the past 5 years, none of us have really changed very much. But today, you are going to change. You know why? Because I believe. Now, after hearing this message, after 1 hour, when we close from here, after 1 hour, if you do not take any specific change or any specific decision to do something different in your life, you coming here today was the waste of your time. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. After 1 hour today, when you leave this building, 1 hour, you have to make a specific change. Otherwise, you coming here today, right now, was a waste of your time. Come on. You understand what I'm saying? The title of my message today is Jailbreak. Oh, yeah. Come on. All right? We are breaking out of jail today. Yes. All right? Cool. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians. The scripture I wrote it in the King James Version because I like the way it sounds. You know, King James uses some powerful words that we don't use these days. I don't think, you know, we speak good English these days. But anyways, let's keep it moving. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 to 5. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretensions that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient unto Christ." We take captive every thought to make it obedient unto Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. That this one is for free. I'm not charging you for this one. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." You are in a war, whether you like it or not. This war is not optional. As soon as you can breathe in and out and you can see me, or you can't see me or you can hear me, whatever, you are alive, you are in a war. But you see, the difference is, depending on which camp you are in, the way you fight this war is different. So, this war I'm talking about, people in the world who do not know Christ, who haven't given their life to Christ, this is how they fight their wars. Number one, they fight each other. Something happens and the person closest to them is the one who suffers the most. Alright? They fight each other. For example, in a marriage home, when something happens, when a war breaks out, the wife is blaming the husband and the husband is blaming the wife. Let me tell you something right now. The Bible says that when the evil one comes into a house to overtake a house, he first binds the person who is in charge of that house. Do you know what that means? In a marriage, if the devil wants to destroy your family, he will kill your husband. Do you understand what I'm saying? The devil kills men and discourages women. So wives, no, wait. Husbands, let me tell you something. The devil is after you. The devil wants to kill you. Okay? He wants to kill you. Take you out. So that your children and your wife will just be out of the picture. They will just rampage the house. So as a man, your prayer life, your spiritual life, your connection with God has to be on point 24/7. Because your wife and your children and everyone that you have influence over depends on you. So men, our spiritual life needs to be on point. You cannot joke with your spiritual life. Sisters, if there is any man in your life and you see them taking the left turn, please do not take them down. Women have the intuition of seeing when we are not doing well. But instead of helping and lifting the men up to stand to fight, like when Moses was on the mountain and they were fighting the war and Joshua and Caleb was holding his hands up, instead of doing that, the women tried to take the men down by pointing out their flaws and making them feel less than. Let me tell you, you are helping the devil kill your husband. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are a wife in this room and your husband is not doing well, keep your mouth shut and pray to God to help him stand up instead of complaining. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are in this room and your husband is not doing well, go on your knees. The battle you are fighting is not your husband. The devil is after you and your children, and he's trying to kill your husband. You are warned. You don't help your husband to stand, you are a goner. You understand what I'm saying? You are gone. Help your husband to stand. If it takes 40 years for a husband to come back into the light, that is what you do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Men, we have to be praying like our life depends on it. We have to pray more than the women. We have to fast more than the women. We have to know the scriptures back and forth more than the women. Because when the devil comes, he's not coming to go after the women. No. He's coming after us. Because when he takes us out, the rest is easy. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Second thing that people in the world do is they do something to forget the battle they are fighting. So they will drink alcohol to numb their mind to forget. Or they get into sexual immorality to forget what they are doing. Or they will get into gambling or something crazy. Something to just take their mind off what is actually happening, the battle they are supposed to fight. They try to forget. The next way people in the world fight is they blame other people. Oh, it's not my fault. If my dad was a good father, I would have been a better man. No, that's not true. Let me give you a personal example. My grandfather, my father's father, was an abuser. He beat my grandmother up all the time. My father told me that he believes that because of all those beatings, that's how my grandmother passed away. My father said that after seeing how my grandfather treated his mother, he decided that when he marries, he will never ever touch his wife. My parents have been married for more than 40 something years, and I've never seen my father touch my mother, or my mother has ever told me that my father touched him. You know why? He decided that he's going to change and not let that generational curse continue. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So that one is for free. Now we are really going to talk. We have strongholds in our lives. Strongholds are like castles with thick walls around it. And everybody in this room has one. Everybody. You know why? Because strongholds are generated in our life in several ways, and it's an equal opportunity employer. Everybody is employed in strongholds. Everybody has one. If you don't have one, you are deceiving yourself. Thank you very much. First one, there is generational strongholds. Emotional instability, addiction, and marital instability. Growing up in the compound house I lived in, all the women, every single woman in that family that lived in that compound house had no husband. Every generation, there were six generations of women, and they were all divorced. That is not coincidence. That is a generational curse. People have emotional instability running through their generations. People have addiction running through their generation. Generational curses are real. It goes through the genes. And if you allow the devil to open it up, it will activate. And you will see something that your great-great-grandfather did alive in you today, 2018. Generational curses are strongholds. Sinful strongholds. You read Galatians 5:19. That is things that we do. My own sin. The sins that I have committed bring these repercussions on me. And because of my sins, I bring certain strongholds in my life. Because my brain changes to conform to the sins that I'm committing. And it creates strongholds in my life. You need to pray to Jesus, man. We are going to talk about that. The next one is situational strongholds. That is something someone else has done to put you in a situation where your life is just miserable. Someone else did something and it messed you up. You see, the thing is, situational strongholds, you cannot change. There's nothing you can do about it. But the way you react to it is in your own hands. The way you react to situational strongholds is in your own hands. My father could have decided that he's also going to be an abuser, but he did not. Situational strongholds. Don't be a statistic. Do not be a statistic. Now, if you are breaking out of jail and you are breaking out of these strongholds and you are caught, it's not fun. You see, in movies that they have like a jailbreak and stuff like that, when they are caught, they most of the time put them in solitary confinement. All right? They dig you deeper so that they put more security around you because they know that this guy is he wants to run. So they watch you closely. You see, in the spiritual realms, it's the same way. If you decide to run out of your stronghold and you are not consistent and you don't have the power of God to push you out of it and you are caught by the devil, you will go back deeper. Proof. Jesus said that if demons are run out of a house, and the house is swept empty, nice and clean, those demons go about looking for a place to live. And when they don't find any place to stay, they come back to where they left. And if that place is not occupied, they bring other demons with them, stronger than they are, and they come and live in there. And the person becomes worse off than they began. So if you want to run, make it good. Make it good. Make sure. I have a couple of strongholds down here: adultery, jealousy, hatred, idolatry, heresy, murder. You know, these things, like, there's more. I just could fit all, just a little bit. These things are real. And if you look into your life right now, the Holy Spirit will pop something in your head right now. Now, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, man, I wish so and so is here to hear this message, I'm talking to you. Leave so and so out of it. I'm talking to you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So, the scripture says that we have weapons. Now, these weapons that we are going to use, you know, before you use them, you need to have a strategy of how we are going to escape. Now, before you try to escape, Joshua 2, when you go home, read it. You need to go spy the land. How do we spy our land, our strongholds? You need to find out, how did this stronghold in my life show up? It will help you understand how to fight. Because if it depends on you, there are certain decisions you have to make to get out. If it's a group of friends you are involved in that brought this stronghold upon your life, you got to step and walk out. In fact, even if it's a job that is creating this stronghold in your life, you might want to pray and start leaving that job. You understand what I'm saying? All right. You need to wage war against your stronghold. Now, this war that you are going to fight against this stronghold is God directed. This is how I can explain this. Everybody who escapes from prison always has someone on the outside helping them out. Right?
Yeah.
You cannot just sit in jail and just break. No. They always, for it to be successful, they always have someone on the outside. Either to break the walls in or set something up or have a car sitting on the fence. As soon as they get out, they get in and run. They always, always have someone on the outside. You know who is waiting for us on the outside? It's Jesus, man.
Yeah.
He's waiting for us to walk out. The Holy Spirit is there with us, telling us Jesus is waiting to drive you away out of this place. And when you are leaving, make sure you take no prisoners with you. You want to be successful in running? Please, don't take anyone with you. Now, let me explain this. You know, I always use purity, so because that's what I know. You know, you're struggling with purity, right? And you're trying to change. You're praying to change. The Holy Spirit shows you things in your life that triggers you to act out in your purity. You've tried first week, second week, third week. The Holy Spirit is like, okay, this friend in your life needs to go. And then you'll be arguing with God. Oh, you know, she's all right. She has, you know, it's okay. We are not sinning. You know, I like her as a friend. Take no prisoners. Oh, Facebook, you know, I need to connect with people. I like Facebook. You know, I like my computer. Really? Your computer is worth your salvation, huh? Take no prisoners. God would expose things in your life that you have to let go. But you will be arguing with yourself, holding on to it. You remember the scripture that says that, let go all the sin that easily entangles you? That's what Jesus is saying. Take no prisoners when you are running. Take no prisoners with you. Next slide. Now, these are the divine weapons that we have to fight. If you are a Christian and you don't know how to pray, God help you. Prayer is like our nuclear bomb. We throw that thing in there, the devil doesn't know what to do. As a Christian, you need to be praying all the time. Every time, anywhere, any given moment, you'll be praying in your head, you'll be praying out loud, you'll be screaming your head off, you'll be praying in the closet, outside the closet, in your cubicle, in your car, everywhere. You need to be praying all the time. You know why? Because the more you pray, the more connected your brain and your soul connects to God. Praying changes your mind. Do you think you'll be praying and be so connected to God, and then someone who encourages gossip in your life shows up and you decide to stop praying and start gossiping? No, you'll be like, please, I don't have time for this. Seriously. I'm busy right now. You know, I'm you know. Like, really, you know. You gotta pray. And I'm not, look, your prayer has to be specific and real. You think God doesn't know what you deal with? You think God doesn't know your strongholds? God knows all of it. And then you go to God, oh God, you know, I'm glad for today. What? Meanwhile, the devil is taking your family down. Yes. Pray specific prayers. You know those kids that you prayed for that God gave to you, and all of a sudden you think there are demons running around in your house? You need to be praying for them. Mothers, look, you need to be praying for the wives of your sons and the husbands of your daughters. If you wait for the day they come home and tell you, oh, I met a joker out in the street, I like him. Too late. You need to be praying now. Pray now. Because when you wait till the situation is beginning to happen, you are late. You need to start praying now. Look. As soon as your kids are born, you know their temperament. You know what they like. You know their struggles. You know everything about these people. So when you are praying, you have, God, please, do not give my son wives who are overbearing. Give my sons wives who will love them and help them to feel special about themselves. Do not give my sons wives who are quarrelsome. Because the Bible says that it is better to live in the corner of a roof than to live in a house with a wife who is quarrelsome. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to pray specific prayers. Ask and you will receive. Praise and worship. We need to learn to praise and worship God. We need to really take time and learn to praise and worship God. Because when you praise God, the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. You want God to show up in your stronghold and kick walls down and ransack the whole place and clear the house? Oh, invite him in there. You wake up in the morning, you play some song. Look, no, Nini, whatever. No, none of that song. No, I don't even know how to sing it. Look, everyone in this room has a song that when it plays, within seconds, your soul leaves your body, and you're like, oh, I'm dead. There are certain songs that you hear. It throws you into prayer for hours. Hours. You will not even realize it. Like, you hear that song and your spirit just leaps out of your body, and it's like you're standing right in front of God. You need to be doing that all the time if you want to escape your stronghold. Truth. Look, the worst person to lie to is yourself. Tell yourself the truth. In a purity ministry, they taught us a technique called mindfulness. And this is how it's explained. When something triggers your emotion to want to act out, sinful, do something stupid, at that moment, you recognize what is happening. You say, God, I saw this. This is how I'm feeling. My body wants to react this way. The truth is, you take a scripture and say, God, by your word says, this is what I am. This is what I need to do to honor you. I choose this rather than that. In that very moment, you change your brain chemistry to decide to pick God over the devil. Tell yourself the truth. Righteousness. Righteousness is the right standing with God and man. The Bible says that if it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Listen, you need to be righteous. You have the capability of being righteous. You know why I know? Because the Holy Spirit lives inside you. If the men in the Old Testament who had the Spirit come in a few hours and then leave them could be righteous, how much more us who are living in the last days and have the Holy Spirit with us 24/7? You are in the bathroom, He is there. You are eating your food, He is there. You are in your job, the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is with you all the time. You have the capability of being righteous. The gospel of peace. I don't even know how to explain it. The gospel of peace. If you are a Christian and you don't have peace in you, and you don't give peace out, I'm not talking to other people, in your own home, in your own house, around the people around you, don't feel peaceful around you, you got problems. The gospel of peace, the word of God, the word of God transforms us to be men and women of peace. Your faith. I'll make it simple. They believe that God says He is who He is, and you believe that, and you can take that to the bank. When the devil attacks you, he's not after your house. He's not after your cars. He's not after your bank account. Well, my bank account, there's nothing in there. So, you know what I'm saying? He's not after none of that. He is trying to destroy your faith. The devil is trying to destroy your faith. Do you know how the woman who was bleeding in the Bible got healed? Jesus said that you were healed because of your faith. That woman knew something about God. That woman knew what Jesus was capable of doing. That woman understood the power that embodied Jesus Christ. So he said to herself, all I have to do is touch the hem of his garment. And this woman was healed because of his faith. How do we gain faith? How do we gain faith? By hearing the word of God. You need to be hearing a lot of the word of God. It's like a deposit in a bank account. There are some scriptures you will read that will not make sense to you right now. But 14 years later, something will show up and the Holy Spirit will bring that scripture right up. And it will use that to fight your faith. Your faith is so essential for you to escape your strongholds, your salvation. All I have to say is Facebook is not worth your salvation. Instagram is not worth your salvation. The fight you have in your house every day is not worth your salvation. Yes. The guy you are screaming at is not your enemy. Yes. Your salvation, you have to guard your salvation with your life. If you go through all this and you don't show up in heaven, like really, just go out there and just do it. And, you know, and just do it. Listen. Some of us will get to heaven. Some of us will get to that door. And Jesus will ask us, how did you treat your wife? Some of us will miss the chance of getting into heaven because of how we treated people around us. You have more grace for people outside your house than people who live in your house. God called you to be a life partner to someone. And because this joker is taking a left turn, he's on his own, I'm tired and all of this. Is your salvation worth all of this? You want to get to heaven? Do what God asks you to do. Be the wife God called you to be. Stop complaining. Just do it. Sometimes you just have to obey. You don't know how the joker is going to change. Just do it. Just do your part. Because when you get to heaven, Jesus wouldn't say, because your husband was a knucklehead, you can go in now. What did you do? Because my wife didn't respect me, that's why I'm like, really? Wait, let me see. Did you respect me? I went to the cross for you. Did you respect me? But I will show you grace every single day. Listen, your salvation, you don't want to mess it up. You want to hold on to that. The word of God. The word of God, man, it's like, it's a sword, man. It cuts left and right. It goes through your brain. Your intentions are judged by the word of God. Look, the word of God is our constitution. If you live in this kingdom and you don't know the constitution, you better go start reading or listening or some. Get that thing inside your head. Because that is what you're going to be judged by. The word. Get to know the Bible. Read it back and forth. Look, if it takes you 60 days to read through the Bible, do it. Look, let me tell you something. Sometimes we talk about reading the Bible and people think, I got to read it. And then they say, no. Listen, let's go back 2,000 years ago. Not every disciple had a Bible. You guys realize that, right? Yeah, they didn't have smartphone, their scroll, Google search, what is righteousness? None of that. They didn't have all that. All they had was one Saturday, they go to the synagogue, hear Peter and Paul, someone read the scriptures, explain it to them, and it goes in here. And they keep talking to each other about it. Okay? They talk about it all the time. That's why it says that keep the word of God on your mouth. Talk about it when you're eating. Talk about it when you're sitting down. Talk about it when you're walking. You need to be talking about it. That's how it sticks in your head. The word of God. You got to find a way that something will stick to you. Because if you have nothing in you, when the devil shows up, you will just lie down and take it. Jesus, the Son of God, God in person, when the devil came to tempt him, he didn't say, "Hey, don't you know I'm the Son of God? Bring it." No. He used scriptures. He used scriptures. So if Jesus is using scriptures, you think because you are cute, the devil will leave you alone? Like, sorry, please. Oh, please.
I'm sorry.
All right. No. Listen. You need to know the word of God. You need to get in the habit of reading it all the time. Listen, if you can read it, let someone read it for you. If you don't, buy a phone that can read it for you. Look, in this generation, we have no excuse not to say we didn't listen to the word of God. Now, can you imagine getting to heaven, right? And then you'll be sitting down with Stephen saying, "Oh, you know, I was so busy. I was doing overtime. I couldn't read my Bible." Stephen will look at you like, "Bro, really? I was stoned for that thing. You couldn't read or listen to it." Like, wow. I mean, the stories we would tell, ours would be so like, wow. Yeah, someone chased you out. Yeah, okay, great. We have no excuse. This generation, we are supposed to be the most fired up, knowledgeable, most devil chasing bunch of disciples. Because the word of God is on our fingertips. Okay? You can hear it, you can see it, you can read it, you can... Okay, next slide. Next slide.
Hold on.
All right, see? We're getting there. All right. Now, these weapons, they have the capability of demolishing arguments. You know arguments, right? Arguments, you know when you are at the brink of sinning, all right? You are standing right there at the brink of sinning. You see how in the split second you'll be arguing with yourself? You're like, "Oh, yeah, look, don't look. No, don't do that. No, that's no good. Stop that. No, run. Run!" Then you stand there, "Oh, no, I'm not running, man. This is cool." No, you'll be arguing with yourself. Use the scriptures. Tell yourself, run! The weapons we have demolishes arguments. It destroys pretensions or imaginations. You know pretensions? Thinking of yourself more highly than you are. Look, again, in this generation, we take ourselves too seriously. We think we are all that in a bag of chips. We're not. Get used to it. The Bible says that do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. All right? The Bible is telling you to do it. Just obey. You are not all that important. Don't take yourself too seriously. All right? Just chill out. All right? The scriptures can help you to do that. It demolishes imaginations. I call it image nations, imaginations. You know those pictures that you create in your head? You have an argument with someone, and instead of acting righteously, you didn't. And you walked off. And then you want to go and, instead of dealing with it with a person, you go and gossip about with somebody else, and when you are telling the story, you didn't even have the nerve to tell the story exactly how it happened. You tell it, "Oh, and he did this, and he said that something, and he looked at me that way." Yes. You didn't do all that. You are adding more pictures to the situation. Yeah. Imaginations, the things that go. No, listen. Okay, let me tell you guys something. This one is a freebie, guys. The way God created us. We give seed, all right? We give things. We are seed givers. We give stuff. That's how we are. We give, all right? Women, they are incubators. They incubate, all right? Okay, so this is how it works. Husband and wife in the house. You woke up in the morning, instead of looking at your wife and say, "Hey, how are you? You look nice today," all right? You gave your wife an attitude. You didn't say hi. You just walk off the house. You know what's going to happen? She will think about that. From 6 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the evening. When you come back, you know what has happened? She has incubated what you just did. And it is pressed down, shaking over. And she's going to pour it over you. Now you come back because you feel all frisky. You want to be all nice and nice. She'll look at you like, really? You know where that came from? That came from you. You threw that seed into her life. She incubated it and she's pouring it into your life. And you wonder why it happened. You were the one who gave the seed. Imaginations. Let me tell you, women have amazing imaginations. Seriously, they have amazing imaginations. Something, you do something 6 years ago, something happens. Oh, you remember what you did? You were wearing a blue shirt, a brown shoe. What in the world? You even remember the belt I was wearing? Are you serious? Yo, they remember. They remember. So make sure you don't give them any seed to be brooding over.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Give them good stuff. Yo, you are mad at them. Oh, no, no, no. Pray to the Holy Ghost. Be nice. The nice will come back to you. Press down, shaking over, running over into your bosom. All right, next one. It takes captive of every thought and makes it obedient unto Christ. Every thought. Every thought. We think all the time. We think all the time. If you're not thinking, you are dead. We think all the time. Okay, we think all the time. So our thoughts have to be sanctioned by the Holy Spirit. If you do not take captive of your thought and you make a mistake and it slides into your heart, it becomes a behavior and then you start acting out. Too late. It will take you more effort to unwind that to go to the beginning than to fight it in your head. You know when someone is trying to come into a castle or a prison and they want to like break someone out, you know who they shoot out first? The guy on the watchtower at the top. They take him out. Over here. You need to take him out. You need to rearrange your brain. The thought that comes into your head, you need to make sure that every thought is according to scriptures. All right? All right. Next slide. Practicals. This is my favorite part. Now, like I said, if you live here today, after 1 hour, if you don't take any significant, tangible change, you've wasted your time listening to me. Number one, find a stronghold in your life. Find one. Number two, acknowledge what it is. Three, take personal responsibility for the stronghold in your life. Pay close attention to what you think your stronghold is. Now, every single day, take 60 minutes every day and unplug. Unplug meaning be in a quiet place, shut up the phone, TV, everything, and just connect with God in silence. 60 minutes every day. Build a team to fight. Listen to the Holy Spirit and then make a choice to run. That depends on you. Let's stand up. We are going to pray. Hold hands. Hold someone's hands. We're going to pray. Let's hold hands. You know, as we are praying, you're going to pray for yourself. Think of a stronghold in your life. In your personal life, a stronghold that's found yours. With healing. And in your mind, just give it up to God.
I turn to you, put everything.
Ask God to give you the strength
and found the God
to fight this battle to get out.
Makes all things new. I look to you,
Heavenly Father.
Drowning in my quest.
I thank you so much that you are a God of rescue.
Who holds all.
Father, you rescued the Israelites from bondage, and we know you will be able to do it again.
Stepped out on
Father, I pray that
ocean.
As we hold hands in your presence. This week you help us, O God, to fight the battle, to break down every stronghold that you expose to us. I pray, O God, that our families will be released, our marriages will be released, our friendships will be released, our personal relationship with you will be changed. That in this week, O God, our life will be transformed into the likeness of your Son. Father, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, for the power he has to change our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much. You can go get your kids.
I ran from you and wandered in.